What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about some comic books that came out this very day, Wednesday, December 6th.
Cool. Man, this guy really gets it.
Yeah, this guy knows his days.
I'm all up in that calendar. You know, you are lost.
2017 is really wearing on you, Alex.
Oh, it is. But it's almost done. That doesn't mean we're done talking about comic books, though. There's plenty more to talk about. In fact...
Wipe away the tears, Alex, and let's get to business.
Okay, let's get down to business to review the comics.
Yay.
No? You don't like that?
Well, Pete's excited, too. You can tell by the word he said. Yay.
All right, we're going to talk about three books this week. We're going to talk about Witchblade number 1, Justice League number 34, and Doctor Strange number 382.
Yeah.
Holy shit. They really snuck those extra numbers in there.
Yeah. So you guys want to talk about Justice League number 34 first? So this is a... No, you don't?
Yeah, no, I want to.
Okay.
I was about to say, hell yeah.
I was hoping we were going to start with Doctor Strange first, but all right, let's do it.
Okay, I wanted to start with Witchblade first, so let's start with none of them.
The best thing to listen to are three people fighting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Justice League number 34. This is the big debut of Priest on Justice League. I don't think you need to know a lot going into this other than the fact that it's Justice League, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a crazy jumping on point. I mean, shit has really hit the fan. This isn't a slow start.
What I like about this is it's just like a fast-paced tactical strike of all the different Justice League members.
Yep.
We get to meet them, see what their deal is for this series, and follow them as they try to figure this thing out. You don't need to know a lot of it. You can watch the movie Justice League, be bored incredibly by the characters in that movie, and then see this comic and be like, oh, at least they're doing stuff.
Yes. So, I don't know.
I wasn't sure. I got a little lost in your review of the comic. I wasn't sure. Like, I know how you felt about the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
I feel like you're saying the comic's better than the movie.
Here's what I'm saying. The difference between Marvel characters and DC characters. Marvel characters seem to be people first. DC characters are icons. In the Justice League movie, they tried to make them characters, and they sort of failed. In this, they're just like, these are icons. Let's just put them through an adventure and see where they end up.
Do you know what the real difference between Marvel characters and DC characters is?
I did. I just said it.
I make this look good.
Cool. That's your catchphrase for everything. Alex, you just made that look good. You just made that cough look so good.
It actually looked awful.
Thank you so much. I saw it in real time.
Let's be honest.
I was worried about your health.
It sounded great.
I'm not going to survive 2017.
He has a bad case of the 2017.
Regardless of movies or anything like that.
Thank you. Let's keep it focused
on the
comic.
I don't know how much you guys have been reading regularly the Justice League title or the Justice League of America title.
Nope.
Justice League of America very much its own thing with its own team. But Justice League's like, I haven't loved it recently. It hasn't felt as big and epic as it should. And here, to your point, it does. You know, there's Priest is using some of his very typical format things. If you never read it, Deathstroke he's been on recently and other titles.
Who's
DC.
Priest?
Priest is the name of the author.
Oh.
He's a local priest.
Yeah,
I thought you were like the debut of the priest, and I thought maybe that was the alien guy in the beginning of the comic.
Priest is the name of the writer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
he's got a cool name.
He manages, is it Methodist or is it Protestant? I can't remember
He's a Seventh-day Adventist in Brooklyn.
Right. You probably didn't pick up on the religious themes in the book.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
There's a lot of foot washing.
Right. Well, they were fighting that guy named Jesus.
I didn't pick that up.
Finally,
are you guys reading the same comic guy?
Finally took Jesus down a peg.
I read a little comic book called The Bible.
Oh, my God.
Well, Alex is literally stricken for being sacrilegious.
This is very propulsive. The ostensible plot of the book, as far as I can tell after this first issue, is Batman and the Justice League are slowly going to get worn down by too many things happening.
Yeah, they seem tired.
It seems like Batman's having a tough time dealing with what's happening.
He is, but I like this. Like, it actually is a really easy jumping on point if you've ever heard of anything resembling the Justice League, even though there is some continuity stuff happening in there. Mm-hmm. I thought this book was good. I enjoyed it, and I'd like to read more.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm going to pick up the next issue. I mean, Batman's got a lot on his plate. He's juggling a wedding. He's got his own Bat family.
Well,
there's
nothing about the wedding or his lady in this comic, so it's weird that you bring that up.
Yeah, I know, but it's in continuity, and in continuity he's
right,
about
but we're talking about this specific comic.
Yeah, but he's juggling a wedding.
Yeah, it just seems like you bring up random shit. Anyways, I feel like this is a, like, this issue is just action. All this is going down, and I kind of, which's weird, is I want a little bit of the why. Because I feel like this comic is perfect for me normally, but for some reason I'm not feeling it. I'm trying to wrap myself around
why. Do you
want
them to slow down and have a conversation about their feelings?
I would like them to slow down to know what's happening.
Who are you?
I know, it's weird.
That seems weird. You haven't slowed down and have a conversation with us, your best friends, your two best friends.
Yeah, my two best friends.
But you want these fictional characters to slow down and have a conversation.
Weird, right?
I guess you always want what you don't have.
That's the difference between me and Pete. I make this look good.
It really worked there. It really makes sense there.
All right. Let's move on and talk about a Marvel comic, Doctor Strange number 382. Now
this is a comic.
All right, Pete, you want to talk about it?
This is a fantastic issue. Doctor Strange has been phenomenal. I can't remember the last arc, the name of the artist, but it was just the art was just so fantastic. It kind of really set the tone for the amazing story where Doctor Strange was battling to save kind of magic. And
Chris Bachalo.
Thank you very much. And
Jason Aaron, the writer.
Yeah, so this issue, completely different artist.
Sorry, just to specify, this is honestly not trying to interrupt you. There was another arc or two between that.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I knew that's the one that Pete's talking about because we're best friends.
So with this, we have a different kind of take on Doctor Strange. You almost don't recognize him in this comic. And he's kind of climbing the mountainside. And it's got a nice build to the action, which I really appreciate. And really high stakes. And the talking dog is amazing. I'm super on board this new arc, and I cannot wait to see where it goes. Pretty intense.
So this is written by Donny Cates, friend of the show, and the art is by Gabriel Hernandez-Walta. To give you an idea, because this is the second part of the arc, Loki has become the Sorcerer Supreme of Earth, and Doctor Strange has become the premier veterinarian of Upper or Midtown Manhattan.
Which is a huge gig.
Yeah,
that's it's a big gig. It's a huge moneymaker.
And that's pretty much it that's going on for him. Big stuff happens in this issue. I enjoyed the tone. I thought it was a lot of fun. It definitely feels very much in line with Jason Aaron's run, and it's picking up a lot of the plot stuff there. But it's funny, and there's some great twists. I don't know how much we want to talk about them. We don't want to talk about them.
No, we don't want to spoil them.
Oh.
Let's spoil it.
People haven't read this comic yet because this is coming out right when it does.
I think people are listening to hear the spoilers. That's what I think.
That's totally inaccurate.
Okay. Yeah. You know what we should do is we should read every comic before it comes out and do a podcast that's just like, here's the spoilers.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, we'll call it spoilers.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Justin, what did you think about this book?
I like this a lot for a lot of the same reasons. Like, a lot of fun twists. The art is great. This definitely does feel like the follow-up to the Doctor Strange stuff. The arc that Alex mentioned in between Jason Aaron's run and this run was dealing with a lot of the fallout from the Captain America crossover Secret Empire. Uh-huh. So this definitely feels like it picks up right after the Jason Aaron stuff in a great way. And I love that Loki is Sorcerer Supreme now.
You love that.
Yeah.
It's like when bad guys are doing... Or kind of taking the role.
I like bad guys in power.
You think that's cool?
Yeah,
you think that's a great thing to have happen?
That's the life we're living in.
Yeah,
I'm just going to say that's cool. The difference between bad guys and good guys. They make this look good.
Oh. Yeah.
No, that's 100% accurate. And the relationship, the Velma character is really cool and a nice sort of breath of fresh air.
Zelma?
I believe it's Zelma, yeah.
Yeah. Did you say Velma?
You said Velma.
Oh, Zelma. Yeah, sorry. Okay.
Velma's from
those Scooby-Doo. Consonants are really close to each other.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a couple of letters in between them.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a little disappointed we're not talking about the dog the whole time. I mean, that dog is awesome. I don't know where that dog has been in my life, but now that this dog is here, I just want...
Who are you? You usually hate cute talking animals.
This is...
You get all up in my nuts about it.
Yeah. When I had a talking dog that was all over Alex's nuts, you hated it.
Yeah, I did hate that dog.
Yeah.
Well, the dog was smarter than me, and he was constantly talking down to me, and I wasn't going to stand for that.
Well, he was a very tall dog.
Very tall dog, and also he graduated from Yale.
Yeah. Yeah, which he brought up often.
Yeah, I know. He was sort of cocky, but he always wore that Yale sweater.
Yeah, because he was like, you go chase that tennis ball. I graduated from Yale. You know?
But why did you always do it? You're having the best time. I've never seen you happier than when you were chasing that tennis ball.
Yeah. Oh, Pete, by the way, we made arrangements for when we're done with the show. We're going to send you up to that farm in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be totally fine.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good, bro. Are we really not going to talk about spoilers for this issue at all?
If you want to, but I feel like...
It seems like you didn't want to, and then we purposely didn't talk about it, but now you feel like you want to.
Here's what I'll say without saying anything. There's a big return that happens at the end of the issue, which I thought was great.
Very cool, without spoiling it.
I thought it was a big twist. I did not see it coming, and I'm very happy about it. I'm very happy about the character we haven't seen in a while that was around for a while.
Huge.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's rare. I feel like it's very rare to get to the end of the issue, see the return of a character, and it actually be a surprise.
Also, you don't know the whole time. Well, at least I didn't. I was like, who the heck is the guy at the top of the mountain? What is this going on? And then I'm like, who? And then I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Here we go.
They did a great job with that reveal.
All right, the last book that we are going to talk about, Witchblade, number one. Now, this is by Caitlin Kitteridge is the writer, Roberta Ingranata is the artist. This is, I believe, I could be wrong, but the first time it's a fully female team working on Witchblade, which would be a big enough deal, but this is also the umpteenth reinvention of the Witchblade. This is... Not the way that they describe it in the back matter is if you think about there's the Star Trek Picard versus J.J. Abrams is the way that they described it. Because you went about 20 years with the original Witchblade, they're taking it back using some of the core concepts, but essentially rebooting it and reinventing it with a new character, new situations. Pete, you've been a Witchblade fan, right?
Oh, yeah, I love Witchblade.
So what'd you think about this?
Well, it was... I thought it was really solid first issue. I just felt like it took a little bit to get into it. You know what I mean? Where it was like, okay, you're having weird dreams. I get it. You know, all right. But what's this about? And then like, it's always tough for me when it's like, when you know a little bit about what the main character should be doing and the main character is fighting that. Which I understand, you know, it's kind of, I like the realism of that, you know, because people really don't know what they should be doing all the time.
Yeah, what's the last crazy dream you've had?
Oh, dude, don't ask me that.
Like, what's the last, like, weird dream you had?
Let's see, a couple nights ago I had a dream where I killed my whole family.
What?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus, that's dark.
I have fucking weird dreams.
So, now that's actually sort of similar to what happens in this issue.
Yeah. Wait, sorry, was that a dream? Did you describe it as a dream versus a nightmare?
Yeah, it's definitely a nightmare.
Oh, okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure.
So, I'm surprised you don't identify more with the main character. That's sort of similar to what she's having, like, horrible nightmares about people close to her.
Yeah, I know, and that's got to be very frustrating, you know?
Yeah.
And then you wake up, you don't know what's real and what's the dream and that kind of stuff. I mean, but I just felt like, for a first issue, the job is to really get you excited about where this is going. And I just felt like it was a little too much of a slow burn. That's my only kind of qualm. I thought the art was amazing. I liked a lot of the characters. I'm excited to see when this kind of gets going.
What do you think about this, Justin?
I feel like I've seen the thing. I mean, Pete's story aside, I've seen the thing of a character like having a weird dreams about an impending problem so many times. Mm-hmm. So it felt like, especially when you're rebooting a character, like, that part felt not fresh. The part I liked was at the end when we finally, she sort of comes into her own, and it seems like the Witchblade power is completely different. It's not just, like, getting sharper.
Right, getting sharper and it ripping through your clothes and it being, like, kind of porny and skeevy, but porny, not exactly.
Yeah, there was less of that and more of, like, what actually... are the powers of this bracelet, and who's the dude that just, like, showed up out of nowhere to...
With the scars.
Yeah, to talk to her
about
it.
Never trust a dude who shows up with scars.
Yeah, I agree. I think it did hit a lot of similar notes to other hero stories. I think you're absolutely right about that. I do think Caitlin Kitteridge has a tendency to give really good dreamlike qualities to her writing that comes through here, which is probably why she leaned on that, if anything.
Right.
It's also weird to read this because I might have even been a year ago now, but it's definitely been at least a couple of months. Top Cow released a book called Switch, which was also a reinvention of Witchblade, except a teenager gets the Witchblade and connects to Witchblades in the past.
Switchblade.
Yeah. There you go. And that book was great. That was a lot of fun. Totally different than this, but reading, okay, we ended Witchblade, and then we're going to do a bunch of different riffs on Witchblade does feel repetitive. So I agree with you. I like Witchblade. I like the team a lot. The art is very good.
Yeah.
It does have this whispery, dreamlike quality to it, which is kind of neat and different. It's definitely very different from the rest of the Top Cow, like, intense, gritty, yeah, covered in metal.
Extra lines. What were the brothers that did the sword back in the day?
The Luna Brothers.
Luna Brothers. It reminds me of that in a good way.
I can see that. Yeah.
You love that.
I did like the sword.
So, like you guys, I think I'm more curious to check out issue 2 than I was necessarily issue 1, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
If you like this show, was that really aggressive? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
if you like this show and other shows we do and are free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the Pit Loft in New York. Come on by. We'll talk to you about comics. Pete, what do you want to plug?
For us on Facebook, so you get to know about all of our amazing guests.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. And remember, we make this look good.